It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The bad officiating on that last play, especially after the NFL official in the booth said, you got to call those. There's two of them. You miss one on a quarterback. You miss one of your receivers getting held, which there's a good chance that happens.
I'm curious, would he have gone for two? This is cropping up.
Ask him.
We'll get into that.
Because everybody the Todd Bowles, he got killed. Todd Bowles got hammered. Playing Tampa Bay, playing Kansas City, got hammered.
27 seconds left in that game. You're at Kansas City. Your offense is damaged. You got the champs on the ropes, right? Isn't a little different. 38 seconds, two timeouts for Lamar. Maybe it's not.
We're talking about the elite quarterback. That's the one thing we have. Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, I don't know where you rank them. The Josh Allen show and the Patrick Mahomes show, no matter. And by the way, Patrick Mahomes' numbers look like he's getting criticized. I mean, touchdown, about the same for interceptions and touchdowns, except he's undefeated.
Asked to do what the other guys do because he has a great defense. He has a great defense.
How would you like to be Joe Burrow right now and the numbers he's putting up? He just absolutely, the numbers he put up against Baltimore in the two games, and he's got two losses to show for him.
And he's being pressured every play. Every play, he's either getting hit or someone's in his face.
And they're now 4-6, which, but Lamar and Joe both have 24 touchdown passes on the season. Is that right? 24 touchdowns each. Just the numbers are ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. And you know what? I just said during the break to you. You know what? To me, it looks like Kansas City and Detroit are clearly the two best teams.
Yeah.
Baltimore's, that defense, that secondary looks slow, doesn't look organized. It looks like mental breakdowns everywhere.
And
there's no way the number
week
one,
after week. That what you saw last night is how Baltimore's defense plays most weeks, their defense.
Yeah.
Buffalo's has a chance to give Kansas, but Kansas City's the clear favorite again.
Yeah.
Three times. Nobody's gone three times.
Well, listen, we're going to talk more about this stuff with Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. We're going to go to break here.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
One of my favorite times of the week, and that is to have Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk on. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Joe, I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
Well, listen, I thought of you. Watching that game last night, I go, oh, boy, there's plenty. I said when we started this morning, we could have done 4 hours on, first of all, you talk about great quarterback play, the Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, might be the best we see all season long. It was that good. Let's start with the good.
Oh, 4 touchdown passes each, 2 great games from those teams. We always look at the rivalries in the NFL, which one's the best. Right now, it's hard to argue that there's a better rivalry than the Bengals and the Ravens. We can only be so lucky that they get together a third time in the postseason. However, losing last night makes that road a little bit harder for the Bengals. They're going to have to go 5-2 as a practical matter down the stretch to get in.
Well, let's talk about the other part. And I knew once again, for a second straight week, let's talk about 2-point conversion, just the 2-point conversion. Did you agree with the decision, or would you have just kicked the extra point in that situation?
Well, there are actually 3 instances that have happened since Sunday, because in the Patriots-Titans game, a game that no one probably paid any attention to. I only noticed it because it was on the wall of TV screens at NBC. But the Patriots scored a touchdown with no time on the clock, creating the clear, obvious binary up or down, go for two and win, go for one and go to overtime, because nothing happens in regulation after that. On Monday night, when the Buccaneers didn't go for two, the point I made was, hey, if they get it, Patrick Mahomes is getting the ball back with 27 seconds and three timeouts. We've already seen him in a playoff game against the Bills get in field goal range with 13 seconds on the clock. You can't overlook how the mindset would have changed for the Chiefs if they were down on that last drive. And I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes. And last night, similarly, there were 38 seconds left. That never gets discussed. I think we all want to witness that exciting moment of a team going for two because, hey, if they don't get it, we just turn off our TVs. We don't have to live with the aftermath of it. But what would have happened is the Ravens would have gotten the ball back and they would have had a chance to get in range for a potential game-winning field goal. Now, Justin Tucker isn't as good as he used to be, no. So it may have been a tougher proposition than for the Chiefs on Monday night. But I think that's the one thing that gets overlooked in all of this. And also, Joe, I don't know what the Bengals were doing. They had Ja'Marr Chase one-on-one on the left side. We broke that play down today on PFT Live. Joe Burrow didn't even look his way. He didn't even look there. You're going to throw a pass at the goal line to Tanner Hudson when all you got to do, Ja'Marr Chase has three touchdowns and 264 receiving yards in that game. You put that ball up there and it's one-on-one, chances are he is going to catch that ball because he wants to put the exclamation point on one of the best games of his career.
Well, now the other part. It's a great game. Everything's great. And then they go back and show the play, and we got Gesicki getting held on the play by a defender. We get a roughing the passer, a shot to the head, and then to the face mask. And the guy on that's doing officials for Amazon last night says, oh, yeah, you got to call. Those are two penalties. Mike, we've been through – it's like a broken record. And I know those guys didn't want to get involved into the game. We don't want to – mess this thing up. We'll just go incomplete. What'd you think?
Oh, and this is something that dawned on me this morning. You know, when Tom Brady was playing and he would constantly harass and harangue the officials and whine and throw his hands out and get in their faces. You know what, Joe? That works. And Joe Burrow is too nice. Joe Burrow needs to get in their faces when they blow calls. And you look at that drive, it started with a missed face mask. If he had gotten on them from that moment forward, and you know how Brady is, he wouldn't have let it go the entire drive. He'd have been making comments to Cleet Blakeman, the referee, after every single play. And you know the end result? Cleet Blakeman would have been paying closer attention on that last play and might have seen it and might have been willing to throw it. Because the counter, you need to have the counter to that temptation to stick the flag deep in the pocket in that game-deciding moment, as we see officials do, especially when, if you throw the flag in Baltimore, against Baltimore, you still have to get to your car after the game. And, you know, we saw that moment in the Texas game 3-4 weeks ago where they started throwing bottles on the field, and all of a sudden they picked up a flag or threw a flag or whatever. They did whatever they had to do to placate the mob that was incited to, you know, throw bottles on the field and who knows what else. Those are human factors that come into play here. And that's why Burrow and all quarterbacks, you know, they say, oh, well, you're too young to get the calls. It's not a matter of age and experience. You got to do something to get in their head and get them ready to give you calls. And that's why what Brady did was so masterful. And Burrow needs to start doing it too.
We saw Baltimore's defense, and it's been a trouble week after week. Buffalo's defense got lit up by the Dolphins. Are the Chiefs in the AFC and Detroit in the NFC so much better than everybody else right now? That's the easy Super Bowl pick?
And yeah, I agree with you. And we've had the Lions at number one in our power rankings, and they are very formulaic and objective, and we take many factors into account, and it's a slow process and has to cook overnight before we can get to the numbers. But anyway, I still think Chiefs-Lions is a neutral site. It'd be hard to pick against the Chiefs. And the big winner last night, and Chiefs fans don't want to hear this, but the big winner last night was the Chiefs. Because if the Bengals don't make the playoffs, the Chiefs don't have to come across them.
Oh, good point.
And we've seen Joe Burrow and the Bengals play the Chiefs well. There is one active quarterback who has beaten Patrick Mahomes in the postseason, and it's Joe Burrow. And the only other guy who beat Mahomes in the postseason was Tom Brady. You know, Mahomes has been the starter since 2018. His worst-case scenario, his floor, is losing in overtime of the AFC Championship. And he lost there once to Brady and once to Burrow. They don't want to see Burrow. And, you know, the Chiefs say, oh, that's 3 years ago. But Burrow changes when he gets to the postseason. He welcomes those opportunities. And they've got the offense, I think, to exploit the Kansas City defense if they would get to the playoffs. And, again, Chiefs have to be very happy every time the Bengals lose, because of all the teams in the AFC, the one I'd be worried about if I was a Chiefs fan is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I got to bring him back here to South Florida. Dolphins go up to Buffalo and play by far their best game of the season and still lose on a 61-yard field goal there at the end of the game. And everybody's kind of curious what the take was going to be now that they're 2-6, and they're like, nope, we're all in. We still feel good about this team. We're going to go out. We still think we can win a lot of games. Were you surprised, or did you expect that reaction from Mike McDaniel on behalf of Chris and Mike?
Well, I'm not surprised at all, because they have to do that. They can't throw in the towel. Look, I know Mike McDaniel got an extension, but do you really think there is no possible scenario by way of outcome to the season that would cause Stephen Ross to decide it's time for a new head coach? So they got to get out there and they got to keep trying. And when you look at the standings, there are 9 teams in the NFL right now with only 2 wins. One of these teams, maybe 2 of these teams, is going to rise up out of that mess and end up getting themselves into playoff contention. You're really not that far out of it. If you win some games, you get back in there. Now, it would help to win one game, just one, to start turning this thing around. And I actually think the Dolphins will win in L.A. on Monday night. I just feel like it's one of those correction weekends where the Rams really aren't a 4-4 team, and the Dolphins really aren't a 2-6 team. And I think this is one where the Dolphins have a level of desperation where they go get it, they get the 3-6, and then you start to try to build some momentum from there and win enough games that you can get into the postseason. Even if you're 1-done as a 6 seed or a 7 seed, at least you turned around a disastrous start and got in.
Oh, no question. And by the way, to your point, because I started with that this morning, like if they beat the Rams, this is their thinking. We've got at home Vegas and the Patriots the next 2 games before a Thursday night Thanksgiving game against the Green Bay Packers. We can get back to 5-6, and maybe at that point, according to what happens to everybody, they could be a game or 2 back with a lot of football games left. So I'm guessing they looked at everything after that Buffalo Bills game, health and everything else. But I agree with you, Mike. They weren't going to do anything except we got to win friggin' games, because I do agree this owner is going to be looking at the amount of money he spent in the offseason, and he wants to see what he's getting from this group after he was told, we think we got a chance to take the next step. They better get close to it.
And he said himself with the Super Bowl team. He said it before the season. He wrote the check, and the check's bouncing all over the place right now.
Yeah. a lot of bouncing money out there. There's no question about it, boy. Oh, gosh. Hey, real quickly, too, while we're talking about trade, going back to trade deadline here real quickly. Were you surprised? I heard Mike Williams come out and kind of take another jab at our guy Aaron Rodgers. Like, everybody knows who got me out of there. Was it the coach? It was Aaron Rodgers. It never stops. But what's Mike Williams got left in the tank now that he's going to play with the Steelers? He just doesn't look like himself than what he was with the Chargers.
Well, you know, it's funny. We played the audio and the video of Williams talking to reporters. And as he was talking about Aaron Rodgers, one of his hands, like, straight up to his neck, like he was going to choke his vocal cords to keep him from saying anything about Aaron Rodgers. But, look, Aaron Rodgers didn't trust him, and Aaron Rodgers publicly blamed him, which I think was a BS move, publicly blamed him for running the wrong route on the final play offensively for the Jets in the Monday night loss to the Bills. But I think Williams can still thrive. It takes time to overcome that torn ACL.
Yes.
He didn't have opportunities in the offseason to get the right, and you've got to have the right chemistry with the delicate genius that is Aaron Rodgers. Say what you will about Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson will embrace him. He will trust him. He will never call him out. He will throw him the football. We saw that the last time the Steelers played. Wilson started doing it more and more. Those beautiful rainbow throws, not just to George Pickens. He was throwing them to other receivers. So if they're going to single cover Mike Williams, which I assume they will, defenses will have the attitude of, this guy's got to prove that he's got something before we even think twice about devoting extra resources to slowing him down. Wilson is willing to throw you the ball and give you the chance to go get it and trust that you've got the athleticism, especially right. if it's a larger receiver, that you're going to go get the ball. I think the Steelers like to prove points. I think the Steelers would love nothing more than to bring this guy in, fifth-round pick, use him right away, and have him make an impact. And I won't be surprised if on Sunday when they play the Commanders, we see Mike Williams with an important third-down catch or two or a touchdown, something like that, to underscore the fact the Steelers got this guy for a pretty good deal.
All right, Mike, we've talking about the Dolphins coming back from two wins down here. That's the conversation. Can the Jets do it from three wins? Do they have the team to get back into the playoff hunt?
You know, last week during the Thursday night game, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit were saying how when they met with Aaron Rodgers, he made this very compelling case of how they can win and win and win and win and win. And they did pull off a win against a Texans team that I think is fraudulent, at least based on what I saw last week. That does not look like a team that was 6-2 coming in. Yeah. Let's see what they do against the Cardinals, because I think the Cardinals, if they're able to run the ball against the Jets the way the Texans were, the Cardinals won't get away from it. The Texans, for whatever reason, didn't ride a very hot hand with Joe Mixon and instead decided to keep throwing the ball behind a very bad offensive line, at least as it was performing against the Jets. The Cardinals will keep running and running and running between James Conner and Kyler Murray. And they're basically at the spot where the Dolphins will be after Monday night if the Dolphins win. We got the first one. Can we build on it now? And I just think there's too much dysfunction within the Jets organization, top to bottom, to expect that they're going to get hot and get to the playoffs, which probably means they will get there. And then, you know, they'll get the last seed in like Aaron Rodgers and the Packers did in 2010 and run the damn table and win the whole thing. But that would be one of the biggest stunners of all time, because I just think the dysfunction there runs too deep.
Mike, before we let you run, we love to talk about quarterback play, and we talk about how good Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson were both last night. I tell you, we saw the Josh Allen show ourselves up close again last week, and a couple runs he made were just phenomenal along with throwing the football. But Lamar Jackson just looks like you throw in not only the way he's throwing the ball, but his runs that he makes. He just looks like he's headed, and all the weapons he has. He looks like a front runner again for the MVP, doesn't he, for a third time?
Well, but remember, when the dust settles on the season, the quarterbacks of the two number one seeds in each conference end up being the de facto finalists. So the Ravens have to gain some ground and get to the top of the conference. Otherwise, it'll be Jared Goff if the Lions are the number one seed in the NFC. But Lamar's there, and this is what occurred to me last night. Every time Lamar has one of these big games, I wonder how many owners are quietly kicking themselves for not pursuing him when he was available, whether it's Stephen Ross, Arthur Blank. How many of these owners, and I think this was all reaction to the Deshaun Watson contract and the cold shoulder that the Haslams got and the quiet collusion that happens. No one wanted to pursue Lamar Jackson. No one wanted, and I don't think the two first-round picks, that's a no-brainer if you know this guy's going to play at the level he's played at. No one wanted to be that next owner that did that five-year fully guaranteed contract, something that the Ravens might not have matched. No one tried. They didn't even try. It's amazing. And when you consider the struggles that so many teams have at quarterback, you could have had Lamar Jackson for two first-round picks. And look at what he's been. MVP last year, and even if he doesn't win the MVP this year, he's the best quarterback right now in the NFL.
Yes, across the board. And again, you know, we talk about the throws. That run down the sideline looked like they got the angle on him. Next thing you know, he's down on the 1 yard, and just unbelievable. Mike, thank you as always.
And let me say one last thing.
Yeah,
that play speaks to a level of maturity that, you know, because it wasn't all out turn on the Jets.
Yeah.
There was a lot of Patrick Mahomes in that, where you're controlled and you're calm, and the game is slowed down, and he's basically Neo from the Matrix. That's what makes Lamar Jackson so good right now.
No, you're right.
That's great.
No question. Hey, Mike, thank you, bud. Really appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us this morning.
Do you need a guy to run in the NFL right now? That's the question. Because you know,
I think you do.
You're going to see two drop back passers this game, the Dolphins game.
Right.
Stafford at 36 and two.
No. There's different ways to do it. Yeah. There's been, you know, Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, was not a runner. I mean, it works a lot of different ways, but it is nice to know you got everything covered. Everybody's covered down the field. Pockets breaking down. Third and 10. And you got a guy who can run 25 yards.
And that's the way. Look at Jalen Daniels. Look at
Caleb
Williams.
There's a bunch of those guys right now.
Coming out.
And then the bigger version, the guy, Josh Allen, who had two runs called back that would, somebody told me it was going to be over 40 yards on those two runs that got called back for holding.
That 21 that got called back, they showed the holding. That one, you know, that's one of those. There's a few of those every game. You're like,
I sat
really?
Next to the Buffalo Bills front office, and they agree with you, by the way. Yeah, first thing they hit me with, they didn't agree with those calls. All right, man, take a deep breath. That's a lot of stuff, man. A lot of stuff, Dave. Hi.
It was fun talking to Mike Florio. He's a weekly gem here on your show.
He's up. He's always got a little different take on things that take place. Like, thinks Joe Burrow should be more like Tom Brady, you know, as far as
calls. Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Arguing calls, and there's a reason for arguing calls.
He's always looking at the human side of officials and, you know, just get the friggin'
It's good to get the national perspective a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we got a busy weekend coming up here. A lot of good stuff to look forward to, including getting done with tennis so I can get home at 12 o'clock for that.
You're going to put some drop shots on people?
I'm fitting to drop shot somebody to death tomorrow. You're exact. I want to frustrate them. But I had a guy tell me, so we're playing, and he was mad. He said, man, you know, we're all getting older. Just sit back and hit the ball. We're all trying to win. And I said, when do we outlaw the drop shot? Because we can't run like we used to. And but he was kind of fired up.
You're hitting them where they can't do it anymore. That's right.
Well, they're playing deep where they can just hit. And those guys all that I play all have good strokes, good forehand and backhand to just hit it back. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to sit back and give you a ten. You know, the tennis pros hit when you get a lesson. They just hit the ball to you and you rip it backhand, forehand. I go, no, hell no. Thing you don't get when you get a lesson is moving around the damn court.
Joe, I've met a couple people who have played you in tennis over the years, and they say one thing about you, extremely competitive. You're out there to win.
No, I don't talk.
They told me you were ready.
Ira likes to do a sports show, and I said, Ira, no. No talking.
There's no trash talking.
No
from
talking.
You? No.
I don't talk, no. Because I don't believe in, if I talk trash, I end up, bad stuff happens, man. End up. All of a
I'm
sudden.
The same in my pickleball game, Joe.
Are you saying pickleball? That's what you get for playing pickleball, jerky. That's what you get. Hey, so anyway, we've got a busy weekend of fun stuff coming up here. Starting tomorrow at 12 o'clock, Canes and Georgia Tech, which I got it carried away before we got to that, but at 12 o'clock. And by the way, you want to talk about, I mean, it's early in the season for everybody, but it's big for Inter Miami. They need to get this win to stay alive and move on in the playoffs.
Yeah, they lose here, their season's over.
Yeah.
And this would be a monumental upset because their payroll is more than double, I think, 22 teams in the league, and Atlanta being one of them. And so they're set up to win. And I think
they're healthy. They
I think
should
every,
be fine.
Everybody wins this weekend, don't they?
Canes and Georgia Tech. If the Canes play the way, even with the big plays, they're going to give up some big plays on defense, they should be fine.
You're putting the conditional on that. If they play like they should, you're still this little leery, scared fan. You don't want to go out like the old Canes. Oh, we're gonna trash them, right? The old Canes spirit.
But even some really good teams got some scares.
They did.
Ed Reed had to pick a ball up against Boston College and run it back. There's
okay, and I get it. This season, it's been one of great It's been fun to watch. Great drama. Great drama.
But these point spreads that are now a big part of our life, and Woody's really, he's really got in my head because he's, 22-point favor, no problem this week. Hey, bro, stop.
But let's face it.
Move to Las Vegas, jerky. Leave me alone.
UM plays Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, I believe, and then
Syracuse. With a bye week in there.
And that's set up for them to be.
I could give them a lot more difficult schedule.
Yes.
Yeah, you could throw in Clemson. You could throw SMU in there, Pitt.
There's four teams with two or fewer losses in the ACC, and UM being one of them. They wouldn't play the other three till the championship game in the ACC.
You need to make sure you take care of business in this one, and then I'm going to feel a lot better. Got next one at home before going to Syracuse. So, yeah, these are huge, huge games. And then, as you said, Mike feels kind of the way I do about the Dolphins, that they can win this game and get the next two, and they're 5-6, and they're going to be with a lot of games left. I know it sounds crazy because they've only won two. You're looking at me right now. It sounds like a fantasy to me.
I agree that I see the path you're taking.
Well, they're going to win after this game. They're going to win the next two, no matter what.
You know what? The Vegas Sharks agree with you because the Rams are a 1-point favorite. Usually, home field's 3 points. So the fact that the Rams are a 1-point favorite, that they see it that close, tells you that, yeah, they think the Dolphins, they like the Dolphins.
I wanted to make sure I put it out there before everybody else that they get this win, and then it's who you have on your schedule the next 2 weeks. They're not very good. Vegas and the Patriots, you got to win those.
5-6,
and this is no longer the backup or third string quarterback now. Something happens to Tua, then you got same problems against everybody. It's a dogfight. Bad teams and the good ones will probably hammer you.
They even lost their third quarterback this week. Got picked up off the practice. J.C. Beathard got picked up.
I saw that. So Jacksonville picked
him. They're down to two quarterbacks.
Jacksonville went back. What Jacksonville? What a mess that is. All started, man. The fumble going in the end zone just absolutely turned their season.
There's a coaching change coming there.
Yes.
New Orleans and
I'd love to see Riz get it, man. Family Riz, I call him. Love to see.
You
Riz.
See what he did this week? I was reading what he did. He changed the locker room back from the pre-COVID. They didn't have positions together in case one guy got it. So they positions are back together, sitting with each other in the locker room. They are now stretching before games, which I guess they weren't doing before, which. I didn't quite understand
He has seen a lot of the last coach apparently lost the whole team.
Yeah.
They checked out on him. By the way, once those guys either verbally or by things they're saying check out on you and it spreads to the front office, we got to get rid of them.
He also talked to Parcells and Dan Campbell this week. And where's that? You bringing it all back to the Dolphins. These guys were all here together. And
Riz was here a long time.
Good coach, good guy. Good for him. I hope it works out.
Yeah, so see what happens there. But you're right. Anytime you're an interim coach, you're looking for somebody else. I got to tell you who might be in a little trouble too. Coach it with the Raiders. Good a story as that is. That thing's.
Yeah, he was an interim coach who kept it, and now you're saying, why did he get the job again? They're bringing a whole new coaching offensive coaching staff.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the defense was giving up all the points. Yeah.
And there's Patrick Graham, ex-Dolphin, who was a very good coordinator, I thought. But they're running into trouble out there.
Yeah, that was a weird one, too, because he and Flores were really close.
Yes,
they were talking about being best friends. We interviewed. Yeah, no, he's my best friend, and then something happened. Took the same job somewhere
else.
We've had a lot of things I can't explain, folks. A lot of things have taken place that I just can't.
But I will say one thing: when Mike Florio was talking about the dysfunction with the Jets, one thing this organization right now doesn't have is there's not dysfunctional relationships going on inside that we've always had in the past.
Agree, and they play hard for Mike. They play really, really hard for Mike. We have some guys, I don't know how good they are, but they play hard. I don't think safety play's been very good. Javon out, I don't think the safety play's been very good at all. Let me say it. I don't think it's very good. Everybody's picking on the linebackers a little bit and depth on the D-line and pass rushers. I don't think we have enough guys making enough plays on defense and our safeties.
Well, you got two safeties who obviously good pros and great careers, but they're in their 30s, and that's not a combination you want.
That is exactly right. Nobody's ever going to take away from Jordan Poyer how good he has been in this league. But he's now getting picked on. They see him one-on-one, and Marcus May has missed on some tackles the last two games. Long run, and the game before Arizona, third down, makes a cut to get the first down, and that was it. Got a little closer and ran the clock out. Just need more guys to make plays, and David Long basically lost his job. He lost it to Anthony Walker.
I think he was hurt.
He was hurt.
He went on the injury report last week, but he'd had, what was it? I can't think of what. It was some with his legs.
I think he's banged up. I think David Long would knock on him. He was always injured before he got here, and I think he's on. He's tough.
And he couldn't. He was great against the run and not so great against the pass was the other knock on him.
But we just got to get more production out of some different guys. We don't have a lot of takeaways. This defense does not get a lot of takeaways. And
again, the last 2 weeks come down to you needed somebody in the defense to make a play. And I looked across there, and I'm going, who do you have who can make a play? That Jalen Ramsey. And after that, you got guys who can help you, but are they going to have they in their careers made game-changing plays? And there's not a whole lot of those.
Well, I'd like to see Javon Holland healthy because he's clearly the most talented safety you have. And Cater came back. Cater's got a pick and a fumble recovery so far. Zach Sealer's coming back, one of your best pass rushers. That's going to help in a big, big way.
Yeah.
Give you a much better pass rush. So we'll see, man. This thing is going to be a big game. You do not want to come home 2-7.
And you have a quarterback, 2-7, it's over. I mean, 2-6, we're close.
Two and seven, you come home, you're still three games away from .500. That's just a killer.
Yeah.
And you will pick up on competition no matter what. So
you got some tough games. I mean, obviously the Packers, San Francisco.
I still don't know if we can beat the Jets twice.
You know, that'll probably come down. And the Jets are looking at the Dolphins and saying it'll depend on where the Dolphins' season is. The Jets, I think, it'll depend on where their season is.
They're going to play to the end, though.
Well, but
there's nothing they can do. They're going to play the same guys, even if they're out of it. I've seen Jets teams do that to us.
Well, that's true. But this one seems to fade in and out of attention. Yeah. And I get to the defense where great players, but they don't always play great.
Yeah, no, they got a bunch of guys on that D that haven't been as good. There's no question about Sauce. Sauce does not look like Spicy Sauce Gardner usually looks. Hey, guess what? We got a roll. We're done.
Weekend.
Hey, man, I want to thank you for hanging out here and talking. We disagree on two-point conversions a little bit, but that's okay. Hey, All Day Dan Day, thank you so much, man. That's going to do it. Whoever you're rooting for this weekend, I hope they win. I hope they win, especially the teams that I like a lot, including tomorrow at 12 o'clock and Monday night.
Big weekend. Big football weekend.
That would really help. And I enter Miami. Enter Miami's got a playoff game. We want to keep that thing rolling. I love the Moss Brothers. I want it to keep rolling. That's going to do it for our show. Have a great day and a great weekend, everybody.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.